Harih Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 31. Let's just continue with the note. The secret of the Bhagavad Gita is this. Although Sri Krishna summarizes for Arjuna the karma, jnana, and mystic yoga systems, his purpose in instructing Arjuna is to establish bhakti yoga as not only the topmost yoga system, but ultimately the only yoga system that returns the jiva to his original eternal position in the spiritual realm. Right? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.25. Just as gold, when smelted in fire, gives up its impurities and returns to its pure brilliant state. Similarly, the spirit soul, absorbed in the fire of bhakti yoga, is purified of all contamination caused by previous fruit of activities and returns to its original position of serving me in the spiritual world. Right? So fruit of means anything that's not connected with the Lord, right? Because they're going to be pious or impious. Right? So that's why it's using just fruit of activities in general. Three, the other yoga systems outlined in the Bhagavad Gita are meant to prepare an unqualified person for the path of bhakti yoga. Bhagavad Gita 18.67. This confidential knowledge may never be explained to those who are not austere, or devoted, or engaged in devotional service, nor to one who is envious of me. A quotation from Srila Prabhupada. So, dridham iti ishto si me Gridham iti tato vakshami. I am not speaking to the rascals. I am speaking to you because you are my most confidential friend. What is that? Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Mam evaishasi satyam te pratijani priyosi me. You are my dear friend. This is sarvadharmam parityaja. Whatever I've spoken, they are all nonsense. There is sense. So whatever I've spoken, they are all nonsense. There is sense, but the truth which I am speaking to you just now, you just become my devotee. Just think of me, just offer your obeisances unto me, just work for me. This is the most confidential. But those who are not able to understand, they are not to be spoken. They are to be instructed that you become a yogi. You practice your breathing, you sit like this, you sit like that. Because he's unable to understand. Therefore, he says, idam te na atapaskaya. One who has not undergone severe austerities, don't speak this final knowledge. He'll not understand. He'll misunderstand, just like the scholars. Like Radhakrishnan, misunderstands because he has no tapasya. It requires tapasya to understand this philosophy. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita says, tapo divyam putraka, o putraka yena sudhyed satvam. My dear boys, just accept austerity voluntarily, restrain. Right. So in other words, these others being emphasized more, it's to the degree they're emphasized is to that degree that our qualification is less. Right? As our qualification is more, then the devotional side will be more prominent. Because right? Otherwise it's that, means for us, the devotional side is always what we focus on. But which aspect is there if you're having to give the techniques of karma or of jnana more? That's just because we're not unqualified. So qualified means ability to appreciate Krishna, right? to ability to love Krishna. So that lacking, then these other things, then they supplement. Right? And if it's too extreme, then basically they just follow these other systems because then they'll be pious. Right? So they follow the path of karma or gyan, according to Shastra. That makes them austere. Right? It makes them follow authority, makes them follow process. So then that makes them prepared that then they would be able to take up the devotional service one day by, you know, proper association. Does that make sense? So in other words, bhakti is the topmost. So when we talk of these others, we're only talking about devotional service, bhakti. But which technique within bhakti is being more prominent? Yes?
Austerity, it means following authority.
Yeah, it means performing your prescribed duties. Right?
It
means restraining the senses from just doing anything, but engaging them according to what is your duty. You know what I'm saying? Just like the child sits down in the evening, does his homework, right? Instead of watching television or a video game or being out on his bicycle. Right, so that's restraining the senses. Because why? It's not just because it's just to annoy him or that, but it's what he's supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? Because with everything, there's always the other half, right? It means it's just like the kids don't mind getting out the game. They don't mind setting up the game. They don't mind playing the game. They have a problem putting the game away. Right? So that's because that's the part of their duty that is the austerity. You understand? So every duty has a part that you may be attracted to. That's why you're doing it, because of your conditioning. But there's also a part that goes with it that one tends not to do. Like one likes to eat but not clean up. You know what I'm saying? Or one likes to have things but not pay for them. You know what I'm saying? You understand, there's always that, it's part of the package, so the austerity, when you see austerity, it's referring to performance of prescribed duties, right? Like that. But it's bringing out the element that it's austere, meaning that it's not, it's you having to control, you're having to do something you may not necessarily be inclined towards. Does that make sense? You know, like that. But it's the same thing, yes.
Prabhupada's talking about the yogis doing pranayama and sitting in his asana, and he seems to be saying that he's actually not qualified to understand by virtue of that alone. So does that mean that that's not necessarily prescribed duty?
No, it's prescribed duty, but it means here is that this is all the more he can do because he's not willing to understand devotional service, because he's not willing to be a friend or surrender. Here is that. Just come, my devotee, think of me, offer your obeisances, work for me. They're unwilling to do that. So therefore, they won't understand. So then they engage in Astanga Yoga, or in, you know, it means Astanga Yoga, or in Jnana, or like this. So it means it's so prominent, the devotional element is not even there.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So then they get... So when we're using these elements of karma, jnana, and yoga, it means it's within buddhi yoga. It's just which part of buddhi yoga you're emphasizing. Mm-hmm. So it's not that it's separate, like those practicing the path of jnana or karma or yoga. Right? It's just because those are to that detail because they're not qualified to understand the simple. Right? It means... Let's say if you are supposed to do something like that. Let's say I mention, okay, cook some halwa. Okay? Just as an arbitrary. Okay? And then, see that it gets properly arranged in a bucket. Okay? Okay? Yeah. Okay. So now if you understand this, then you cook it, right? You either know, okay, go look in the cookbook and get out the recipe or this or that. But or you already know. So there's not a lot of discussion. But if you don't know, then I have to explain the recipe, okay, more. What if you understand less? I may even have to explain what kind of pot to use, or what kind of spoon to use, or even which burner on the stove to use, or how much fire to use, or, you know what I'm saying? Or even that you would use a fire, you know what I'm saying? So then, that would be the less you understand, the more detail is there. Does that make sense? So that's why someone who's less qualified, then so much detail of Patanjali Yoga has to be given. All that's to create a favorable environment in which you can remember the Lord. Right? So, means if you want to understand the Lord, then there has to be the element of, you know, engaging in activities that are favorable and avoiding those that are not favorable. Right? There's certain situations that are favorable and certain that are not. Right? So then the energy has to be directed in favorable activities and not in that's what's not, right? You have to therefore give up activities that are useless, right? Does that make sense? And then stay focused just on the activity of devotional service. Does that make sense? So all that is what we would consider normal instructions within the devotional line. No? But that was the first six stages of Ashtanga Yoga. Right? So because they can't understand that, then you fill in the details of then the whole situation. So you have to go out in the, you know, out in the forest and sitting on the seat, not too high, not too low, and all these different things like that. Then what asanas they do, what breathing exercises. But so it keeps them busy because they don't understand the principle. Yes.
Is it because they don't understand the science?
No, it's just they don't have that surrender.
But it seems parallel to doing the art and then getting the realization through the...
That's there, yeah. Means you're either start... Means the best thing is you're starting with the principle, but if they can't understand that, then you deal with the detail. But it's just because there's so much attack... Because the principle is simple. But the detail, they're so attached to the details of the detail that they can't understand the principle. You know, because the principle is so simple. So they like it to be more complicated. It makes it feel like it's more substance.
And that's a general thing in humans.
Yeah, because if we say that the topmost yoga is to surrender unto Krishna and serve Krishna, then it's kind of like for the jnanis, it's like, where's the substance? You know, where's all the mental gymnastics? Where's all the other aspects, you know? So then these things, you know, like that. Also, just someone who's too absorbed in sensuality and things like that, then there's no austerity. So by engaging them in activity, so karma yoga, they understand. Because all it is that, you know, it's nice being with the devotees in the hall of his grade. So then that's it. So he washes pots for 6 months. And after washing pots for 6 months, then the philosophy starts to have some meaning. So then you can go farther. Right? That's the idea of Purushacharyavidhi. Purushacharyavidhi are preliminaries before initiation. Right? You know, all these different activities that one does. Then so that purifies you, makes you qualified. Mm. Yeah.
When he says it requires tapasya to understand this philosophy, and we're defining tapasya as prescribed duty.
Austerity is to prescribed duty, but then that means within tapasya means that there would be, yeah.
But it would seem that it requires more than just tapasya, because you could.
Of course, it's more than everything's more than just the form. The form, that was the point Krishna was making before, is that the being an official meditator is not going to do, yeah, becoming a pure devotee. These are just ways to give an indication, right? Because let us say I am now, if I engage in something that I would consider sense gratification, so how will I think of Krishna? I'll be so distracted. So I have to be willing to do something that I'm not doing it simply because of the sense gratification I'll get from it, right? So in other words, there must be enough austerity that I'm willing to do the activity, though I'm doing it because I like that activity, but I'm willing that the result's not for me. You know what I'm saying? Because here, the yogi's doing this, but the result's for him. It's very austere, but he's doing it for him. So technically, on one level, it's technically austere, but actually as far as the controller and enjoy, it's not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It's still fruited.
Yeah, it's still fruited. So the person who's willing to give up that result, because that's the actual point, it means the human life is meant for sacrifice. So sacrifice means voluntarily giving up. So they may do it on the shorter term or the smaller, you know, definition, where they're giving up an immediate situation for a longer term. Like, I'll give up some enjoyment now because I'll go to the heavenly planets. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you give the kid, okay, he says he's hungry. He says, we can have a lolly now and then, you know, this, or if you don't have that, then we'll go out and do something else. So then they may give up the one for the other. You know, in other words, something lower you'll give up for higher. The same principle. But they're not willing to give up totally the idea for themselves. Right? The higher is not devotional service. So someone who's willing to do that, that's actually austerity we're looking for. You know. Because like when we say pious activity, you don't mean that they're performing some karmakanda activity. It means pious means that it's according to shastra, according to authority, but it's being done for Krishna. Right? So then austerity means that it's you're giving up the results, but it's, you're not going to be, the results aren't for you in any stage, they're all for Krishna. And then from that, you'll get benefit, but that requires faith. If I give something up and then I'll get something later, that means you have to trust. Right? Because lack of faith, I'll do it myself. With faith, then you have trust that others will arrange if you do your duties properly. Is that okay? So in other words, all these definitions get seen in the light of devotional service. Yes?
This verse speaks about the secret of the Gita. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier that the real secret is the interaction. And in this comment of Prabhupada, says that it shouldn't be spoken to anybody who is not austere. But it seems to me that it's the things that we're telling people, you know, in the beginning when they're coming to Krishna consciousness, you're the servant of Krishna, you're supposed to...
Those are just facts.
Okay.
Those are just facts.
So what are the secret within that? Because it says here this final knowledge should not be told to people who are not austere.
Means... people are going through may have the knowledge of going through the form of devotional service, but that actual attitude of that full surrender, that it's not dependent upon all these other aspects. It's just actually that surrender itself. Does that make sense? Because otherwise then there's the idea is, well, how will I do that? But if we say, okay, you engage your activity like this, or you engage like that, people can relate to it, so they will advance. So it's not that it can't be explained. It's a matter of whether someone would appreciate it. If they'll appreciate it, then it can be explained. And it's one of those things, you explain it, and if they catch it, great. If they don't catch it, then you find some aspect that they can.
So, can I say that...
You know what I'm saying? Because you can tell it to anybody. You know, as long as they're not going to use it against devotional service or Krishna. But the point is if they don't catch that, then you explain what they do catch.
So we shouldn't explain that it's the mood and not the form that's important?
No, the mood is what's important. But the point is you don't necessarily get into so much detail of that unless that's what they can catch. Because we're going to say, yeah, wash the pots for Krishna. They're not your pots, they're Krishna's pots. So therefore, since they're Krishna's and you want to please Krishna, you'll do a nice job of washing pots. You know, if they're your own pots, then you might wash them nicely or not. You know, if there's a sense of that sense of possession includes some element of, you know, culture or dignity, then you would wash them nicely. You know what I'm saying? But the thing is here, it's there for Krishna. So you're explaining. But the point is devotees will take it that it's the forms that make the devotional service. So the missing, no, it's the mood is the devotional service. The forms are just the mechanics. You know what I'm saying? you move your arm, and in the reflection the arm moves. The mechanics of the two are exactly the same. The difference is why are you moving your arm? Right? If it's something for Krishna, then that's devotional. But the mechanics will look the same. Right? And they're saying you want to please Krishna, and the reflection is you want to please yourself. But the mechanics are the same. So we'll get distracted and think that there are different mechanics for devotional service and for material life, which is impersonal. Or we'll see them that they're both the same, you know, which is the sahaja. The point is it's the attitude that's different. The focus is not on the activity. The focus is on the devotion. But karma yoga means there's more focus on the activity. Jnana yoga means there's more focus on the knowledge. It's all part of buddhi yoga.
So these people that we hire to take care of Tulsi here, they're still getting purified, but because the mood is not there, it goes very slow.
Yeah. Means this, if that for them it's just a job, then it will be slow. If they happen to be devotees, then that's what they can do, and then you do it nicely for that, and then money comes automatically. You do a nice job, you get money automatically. Or if they're only doing a nice job because they'll get money, then you get less. Does that make sense? Yeah, so here the point is it's voluntarily. The other one is you also have austerity, you're performing your prescribed duties, but there's, you know, you'll get the good results, so therefore you're happy to do it. But here it's that you're performing the austerity basically because it's voluntary, as opposed to just you're going to get a result. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All these things, means all these aspects, because we're talking about the same mechanics, it's just which aspect we're emphasizing to bring out the point. Right? Because even if it's your job, you have to voluntarily get out of bed in the morning and get in the car and drive to work. You know, it's not that the boss sends somebody who's standing there in your room, you know, in the morning and says, you know, all right, you know, like that. You have to voluntarily do it. But the point is you're doing it because of the work you'll get, what you'll get back. But voluntary here is just voluntarily because it's good for Krishna. It's nice for Krishna. Right? Otherwise, there's all these other aspects it's nice for ourselves. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, next part of the purport. One should always act in such a way that all his daily activities are in connection with Krishna. He should arrange his life in such a way that throughout the 24 hours he cannot but think of Krishna. Notes. Bhagavad Gita 8:6-8 explains why we should always think of Krishna. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Therefore, Arjuna, you should always think of me in the form of Krishna, and at the same time carry out your prescribed duties of fighting. With your activities dedicated to me and your mind and intelligence fixed on me, you will attain me without a doubt. So that's the result that will come. But why will you attain him? Because then Krishna likes being around such a person. Right? Because if he doesn't do that, then, you know, why does Krishna need to be around? He's already around anyway. He is everything, so he's already there. Yes.
In respect to these verses, he's saying, think of me in the form of Krishna. I seem to remember Prabhupada explaining to some of his disciples that when Arjuna was on the battlefield fighting, he wasn't actually thinking of Krishna. He was thinking about, here's the arrow, here's my adversary. He was really focused on his service.
Yeah.
It's not that he was meditating on Krishna's form, necessarily.
No, but he's doing that to please Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that means you're meditating on Krishna. It doesn't necessarily mean the meditation has to be a visual form.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the idea of meditation means that you're doing this, you know, to please Krishna,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then you focus on whatever activity because then it's connected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea is if it's to please Krishna means you've thought about that before, then you perform the activity. The results are already Krishna's. If you perform the activity because you like doing the activity, then after the results are given to Krishna, then that's lesser. Right? That would be sakam. Right? Nishkam would mean you think of Krishna first, and it's for him, and then you perform the activity. Does that make sense? So while he's performing the activity, he's focusing on Krishna, but it's all one, it's all connected, because he's doing it for Krishna. Then when he ends, he'll also be thinking of Krishna. Right? In other words, when the skill requires focus, then you're focusing on the skill. But the point is the skill is all part of... You know what I'm saying? Just like, let's say, you want to put the coin in the machine. So first you look in your wallet to find the coin, so you're focusing just on the coin. But before that, you had to focus on the wallet to make sure you had the wallet, right? Opening the wallet and that, and all the coins don't fall out. Then you get the coin you want, right? Then when you go to put it in the machine, you're focusing on the slot in the machine, not on the coin, right? And then you push button you want to push. But you know it's all part of one process. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
So how do we move from Sakam to the Nishkam platform? Is through the contemplation, through that affirmation that, no, this is for Krishna, and then...
Yeah, it means the activity is for Krishna, the results are for Krishna, so there's never a time when you're thinking the results are yours. Mm-hmm. But because the devotional service is so seamless that the person is doing the activity because he likes the results of that activity, right? You know, because he has the nature for that. The madhyama is performing the activity because he's comfortable with that activity, but the results aren't for him. Does that make sense? So it naturally develops. It's not that it changes. That's the idea, is that there needs to be a change. As you become more advanced, there's a change, and there's no change. The activity remains the same. Does that make sense? You may see a change and they waste less time, you know, like that. Focus more on direct activities when they could have been doing something else. But as far as the service goes, that will remain. You know what I'm saying? You know, saying, you say, oh no, but he's more advanced, he hears and chants more. That just means he manages his time better, but he's still a manager. You know what I'm saying? Or he's still a book distributor, or he's still a cook, or he's still... You know what I'm saying? You know, so, you know, he goes into the kitchen at the last moment, and, you know, then afterwards, sits afterwards for a few hours with his other friends, and eats and talks and this and that, and then they sleep for a few hours, and then they clean up the kitchen and all that, and then hang out a bit more and go to bed, and then, you know what I'm saying? Or, you know, he goes in the kitchen a little earlier, gets everything done, you know, has everything cleaned up, takes prashad, takes a little rest, and then he has the rest of the afternoon to study. So cooking doesn't change. It's just he's more mature, so his efficiency, yeah, so you can tell by symptoms of that. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. But the point is sakam and nishkam is whether it's for Krishna first, and then you perform the activity, or the activity is being done for yourself, and then you give up or you renounce the results. Mm-hmm. Right? Means the nishkam means there's no renunciation of results because they're not for you in the first place. So that's sannyas. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, further purport. And the Lord's promise is that anyone who is in such pure Krishna consciousness will certainly return to the abode of Krishna, where he will be engaged in the association of Krishna face to face. This most confidential part of knowledge is spoken to Arjuna because he is a dear friend of Krishna. Everyone who follows the path of Arjuna can become a dear friend to Krishna and obtain the same perfection as Arjuna. Note 1. The path of Arjuna refers to the path of practical engagement in devotional service, as given in this verse. There are four items of practice mentioned. Always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage to me. From these four, the nine processes of devotional service expand. Quotation, Srila.
What's the difference, worship me and offer your homage?
Worship can mean, you know, just the activity. And homage would be, you know, the more, the heartfelt aspect. It's not that they can't be done together. What?
The bottom of the page says archanam corresponds to worship and vandanam is the homage.
Okay, yeah.
There she goes again.
Just very intelligent. She always has the next point. She always asks questions. Don't ever not ask questions. Because we're not reading through the whole thing and then dealing with it. Because by the time we read through it, I'll forget half of the things to say. So therefore, you know, every sentence or this or that will stop. So in the same way, naturally, then the questions will come up in that way. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Quotations from Srila Prabhupada. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Also, always thinking of me. Yoginam api sarvesham mad gaten ataratmana. Sharavan bhajate yomam same yuktatamo mata. Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyajiman namaskuru. That is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. Always thinking of Krishna. The simple thing is that you follow the instruction of Krishna. Man mana abhavamad bhakto madhyajimam namaskuru. So this is very natural. This temple worship is meant for that purpose. Actually, when we see the deity, immediately our mind becomes Krishna conscious. At least we think of Krishna. Here is Krishna. So that is man mana. Chanting also, chanting, that is Krishna. Krishna mana. Man mana. In this way you become bhakta. Regularly chanting, you become bhakta. Without becoming bhakta, no one can chant. So man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji. So, and worship deity. He has come very kindly to accept your worship. You just dress him, just bathe him, just decorate him with ornaments, with garland, with nice things. Right? So this aspect, you can't do without bhakti. And at the same time as what you're doing is to generate bhakti. Right? So that means there has to be that desire to please Krishna. And then Krishna is giving the opportunity. Now here also, when we say bhakti, then we, in these cases, we're meaning prema. Right? So there's always something more to go. So sadhana bhakti means the practices of devotional service that will awaken devotional service. Right? But devotional service means it's uninterrupted. Right, unalloyed. So that we don't have, but we have the practices that will get it. Does that make sense? You know, just like we could say, the person is cooking, but he's looking at a recipe. So you will say he's cooking, but actually, on one level, he's not cooking. He's following a recipe, right? Because cooking means you don't need a recipe. Right, because cooking is how you deal with everything. The recipe just gives you a form on which it's put together. Does that make sense? So the person dealing with the recipe focuses more on the recipe, not actually on the cooking process. Someone who's a cook focuses on the cooking process and not on the recipe. There's an idea, concept of the recipe. So you start working with that, but that may change as you go. I've seen good cooks, they'll start cooking, start with an idea, they start cutting, preparing, and this and that, but then actually cook a different preparation with it, because as they went, they thought of something else. Or they start actually cooking the preparation, and then partway through start adding things and doing that, it comes out completely different. Because they decided on, you know, other things they could do with it. Does that make sense? So the focus is on the cooking, not on the recipe. So sadhana bhakti means the focus is on the recipe, because we don't know what cooking is. Right, we don't know what actual love is. Right, we have an idea of attachment. Right, but it's self-centered attachment. Right, but if we're willing to follow, deal with those attachments according to the regulation of scriptures, right? Then we're able to start to make that attachment progressive, right? Because we're trying to transfer it from attachment for our own purpose to attachment to pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So when we go to Raganuga, then the focus becomes on the bhakti.
Yeah, it becomes more. It becomes more on activities that would like to be done. Yeah. You know, somebody's mood and this and that, but you still don't have it.
Mm. No, yeah, yeah. But the consciousness is...
Yeah. Yeah. You know, in other words, it's more on the people and all the, you know, it's like, let's say, yeah. You know, you have the enthusiast, you know, the deadhead, you know, who drives around to all the concerts and everything like that. So it's more about the people and being there and the association. Music is automatically part of it. Is that, yeah.
So on the platform of Vaidhi and on the platform of Raganuga, sadhana remains the same.
Yes.
So my question is...
It's just whether the rules are the prominent feature or the mood and the personalities involved.
So does that mean Raganuga Bhakta can apply that mood to going to his office job or dealing with his family just the same?
Or it can. It can. It means that the thing is it's done to Krishna. It means, as we were discussing, is that any activity, it has its... element of practice, an element of where the practice, it becomes very natural. So you can say in that natural state it's more spontaneous. But then, you know, it's giving a lower definition to spontaneity. Just like the person is performing, you know, helping the old lady across the street. So it's pious. But the definition we're giving of piety is that it's connected to Krishna. Right? So now he's taking a lady across the street because she's also part and parcel of Krishna. And so then you're helping that way, then the Lord's living entities. Then it takes on a different... Then it has that devotional element is there. You know what I'm saying? They may not understand that. It may look exactly the same. Does that make sense? Yeah? Or no? Okay. What is bhakti? Mad bhakta, devotional. Devotion means service. Mad yaji, you render some service to the Lord, just like we are engaged here always. Whenever you'll come, you'll find us engaged some duty. You see, we have manufactured some duty just to think of Krishna only. Therefore, our society's name is Krishna Consciousness. Society for Krishna Consciousness. We have got so many literatures. Each and every boy is engaged. Somebody's printing, somebody's writing, somebody's typing, somebody's dispatching, somebody's attending letter, somebody's cooking. 24 hours we are thinking of Krishna. How? Because we are engaged in the duties of Krishna. So, Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru, what is that duty if you have no obedience? You have to obey. Therefore, it is said, Namaskuru, you offer your respect. So bhakti minus respect, that is not bhakti. With love, with respect, with designated duties, if you be engaged in Krishna consciousness, then your life will be successful. Okay. So here also brings up that point you were saying before, is that by engaging in activities connected to Krishna, then you're thinking of Krishna. Right. So it's just a matter of the quality of those activities, how nice you're connecting into Krishna. But you still have to focus on that the activity is done well. Right? Otherwise, if one is so absorbed in Krishna that the activity doesn't happen properly, then how will Krishna get a nice result? You know what I'm saying? The devotee is so absorbed in thinking of Krishna that he can't cook.
That's like the offering the banana peels example. That
it yeah, but still it's interactive there. Yeah. The other one is that, you know, what are you going to do for Krishna? You know, what's there for Krishna? So that's another aspect. But that's because they're so focused on Krishna, they don't notice the activity. But that's dynamic, while the other one is static, so nothing gets done. You're just thinking about Krishna, so no activity. So that's fine if the activities are being thought of in the mental state. Does that make sense?
Mm.
The esoteric, okay.
There was a discussion about gopis. When they heard the flute, Krishna, then they really finally dressed, undressed, whatever, didn't complete their dress, and Yogamaya did all the rest. So does it happen to all the devotees in Rajbhumi there in Goloka? So they're so absorbed that Yogamaya has to finish all the things? Maybe cooking and they don't finish.
I haven't heard of it used in another example.
So they are the most absorbed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're the most absorbed. Yeah. I mean, there'll always be an element, but it's... Yeah, no, you don't hear of others not performing their duties properly. You know, it's like the cowherd boys do shout in the well, you know, and then make fun of the echo and, you know, pretend to be like frogs and roll around, bail fruits and steal each other's lunch. So. Yeah, you don't hear of it as much like that. You do hear where Krishna's milking. He sees Radharani and then he's so absorbed he sits down to milk a bull and then figures out this isn't going to work, right? So, like that. So you do have these elements, but they come in, but they're brought in for flavor. They're not the standard. Because that's what I say, you know, the gopis are very expert or they're very clever. That means they're practically able to perform their duties.
Yashoda never burns Krishna's lunch.
No, you never hear of that. You never hear of burnt lunch. You know, it's like, you know, there's all the cows in the front where Krishna is, but there's a whole lot of cows out in the back because there's so much what Mother Yashoda didn't work out right, she's put out in the back, and so the cows are, you never hear of that. You know.
He said here, bhakti without, bhakti minus respect, that is not bhakti.
Yeah.
Can we say that any relationship without respect is not a relationship?
Yeah. No. Yeah, well, that's what we were saying, is that without appreciation, that's the first point.
Yes.
And then everything builds. So someone has a relationship that has built, but then if they don't have that respect, it doesn't function in that capacity. You know, as we were giving example, many times couples, then they lose their respect for each other.
Yes.
And so then actually it's not functioning on the level of the conjugal rasa, you know, or any of those, not even friendship or servitorship. It's just there isn't any practical relationship like that. So until they develop again that respect, what is there, then it'll come back to what it was. But it, does that make sense? So that's the basis. You know, just like in the process, faith is the foundation. So if someone gets to an advanced level but then doesn't have faith, it doesn't actually function on that advanced level. You know, so the person's, you know, used to be the temple president, used to be the leading this, and used to be the leading that, and he doesn't really have faith in how things are going on now, he doesn't actually, can't actually function in that capacity of someone with that much experience and sacrifice. Right? So they don't necessarily have anything to offer, you know, specifically to your situation. Right? Well, if that faith is there, then they do. You know, or example of the person, you know, hasn't been in practicing for so many years, and they have one of these reunions, and that they come back, and if they're able to bring out that faith in that, whatever they could do before, they can do now. Even though they haven't done for so long, it's not lost. But if the faith is not there, they can't do it. Does that make sense? So the faith is the foundation. So here is that means then you have to have respect. So that's why this principle of respect is so strong in the Vedic culture. It's one of the first things talked about. Right? When we get into training the brahmachari, then there's respect for the teacher, respect for the knowledge, respect for the others in the community. You know, when you talk, take up the grihastha life, then again, the whole section on respect. Because if that's not there, you don't have relationships. Right? So it gives all those, you know, half-page list of relatives and how to deal with them. That's because you won't have that many relatives practically as far as relationship goes unless there's respect. Is that...
So this principle of lack of respect, would that also be one of the reasons why a lot of preaching projects are failing, because there's not the respect for the dirty, stinging, you know, rascal demon that they're preaching to?
Can be. You know, you just have to see whatever it is. Is a sense of superiority or some other things like that. You just have to see where the weakness is. It can be that it's a great idea that they're using the wrong detail. You know, and they have to find the place, you know, where to apply it, because that's the practical point. You know what I'm saying? Like, going to the West, London wasn't the place, New York was. Right? Does that make sense? Because London, it has the sense of it being old and being tradition, so something older and all that is more valued. Nothing current is necessarily the value. Right? Well, in New York, even though it's an old city, it always deals more in what's happening in the present. So then it'll work better there. Just because of the nature of different cultures. So the one will be proud of their own culture and won't take anything else because they can't see the philosophy as a superior element. You know what I'm saying? So you just find where it works. Does that make sense? That would be another aspect. So it might have difficulty because of that. It might not at all have to do with lack of respect or attitude. But it might.
I mean, like, also when you're interacting with somebody, preaching to him, he has to feel that you are his well-wisher, and
yes,
the relationship has to be established somehow, that he accepts that. So
yes.
If he feels the respect is not there, then he might be hesitant to accept what you're
saying. Yes. So that way then you would say preaching like that. Your preaching won't, unless the other person feels he's involved in it.
This point that it was better to go to New York than to London. Can we put it that the word is partial progress and somehow this to happen this way and not that way? Because, you know, those preachers, is it lack of sincerity they went to London?
No, because London was the main center at that time.
But it didn't work.
No, but it's also due. If Prabhupada had gone to London, it probably would have worked. You know.
So we can't.
No, the thing is don't take the example so far. The difficulty is when we take. Means, in other words, there's some other element that we're trying to bring out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just like he asked the question, so he said, preaching projects. But the actual point was, it's when you're dealing with the individual. Speaking to them, you don't deal with, you know, having that element of mutual respect, it's not going to work. So I'm saying is that what he was thinking and what he was expressing.
It was not connected to this point.
No, but it's the same principle.
Okay.
So there, as he's starting the detail, making it more general. And then we're talking with something general, but there's some aspect within that you haven't had some feelings towards, and then trying to fit everything into that one detail. You know what I'm saying? It's the same point, but just the two opposites. So in other words, the example is given because it's something that can be used to carry the idea. It's not that the example itself is the actual process being described. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we take the example there. But if from that we can take it further, or there is some doubt, then we continue with that. But what I'm saying is here is that the example always has its limits. That's the point. It works in that particular situation. You know, so it's just like, let's say you're fixing something and it has a nut on it, right? And so then you say you have to take a wrench and tighten it. But you mean the wrench that matches that nut, right? Does that make sense? It's not that we're meaning any wrench. Or any nut. Right. If it was a Brazilian nut, you'd use a hammer. No?
Is it true?
Brazilian nut?
I don't know, maybe they're not from Brazil. In America you have a nut, it's about this big, it's dark colored, it's kind of like a triangular shape. Very hard, and if you don't hit it with something hard, it doesn't open.
Okay, now I arrive to the Brazil nut, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's another, no, but then if you're talking about a Brazil nut, it means a crazy Brazilian, then you generally use one of those wooden mallets that they use in the circus for driving in the, you know, the pegs for the tent. That's the mallet you'd use for that kind of Brazil nut.
Because in Brazil, they just call them nuts.
They just call them nuts, yeah. Okay, so you have a Brazil nut and then a nut.
A nut from the north.
Okay, but the problem was is when I was saying the example, I was using the words of the nut, yes, the fruit nut. But in my mind, I was thinking actually the Brazil nut, and was wondering if you were going to catch that.
In my reference, even though after you said I could recognize, but it's nut of the north. So Brazil nut is.
Oh, you call it nut of the north.
Yeah.
Nut of the north. Okay. That means the one off the tree or the one in the tree? It means the one what you're eating or the one picking what you're eating?
The nut itself on the hard shell.
Yeah.
It's called, actually the name of the state, it's called Para. It's called nut of Para.
Nut of Para.
Not of Para.
Okay. But in Para itself, the people there are nutty? So they could also be a Para, a nut of Para. Okay, quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5:20-24. Purport. Archanam means worshipping Lord Vishnu as one does in the temple, and Vandanam means offering respectful obeisances. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Vandanam means namaskuru, offering obeisances or offering prayers. Thinking oneself to be Nitya Krishna Das, everlasting as servant of Krishna, is called Dasyam. And Sakyam refers to being a well-wisher of Krishna. Krishna wants everyone to surrender unto him because everyone is constitutionally his servant. Therefore, as a sincere friend of Krishna, one should preach this philosophy, requesting everyone to surrender unto him. Atmanivedanam means offering Krishna everything, including one's body, mind, intelligence, and whatever one possesses. One's sincere endeavor to perform these nine processes of devotional service is technically called bhakti. Right? So that sincere endeavor. Yes.
I heard before that these correspond to the five major rasas, Shanta, Tasya, Satya. Because Shanta would be the respect, the offering prayers, Tasya, Tasya, Sakya, Sakya. Atmanivedanam probably is like the Madhurya rasa completely giving. So I'm just wondering if you
can. Where does the parental?
Oh, I guess in the deity worship. Bathing Krishna, feeding him, caring for him.
I mean, everything will connect, but I haven't heard of a direct connection. You can bring out those elements, but you see all those elements means when they're discussing, one time the acharyas are discussing about the gopis rendering service to Radha and Krishna, and they go through the 16 items, you know, of what you would do in archana. you know, but it's just in that context of that situation. You know, so everything I think is connected. It's just a matter of what you want to bring out, because each thing brings out a certain aspect. When you're bringing out rasa, or when you're bringing out kinds of service, does that make sense? So I would say it's just you would use whichever one would best bring out that particular activity. Why you're bringing that out?
Bhakti and Atmanivedana are very closely related.
But all these processes are bhakti, because if you surrender fully, then you'll be doing activity. You know, just like if you're, you know, your friend or servant or like that. So you're trying to get to that point of Atmanivedana, because then you also, I've heard it, you know, brought out that Dasyam is the Kanista, Sakyam is the Madhyama, and Atmanivedana is the Uttama. I've heard of that comparison, but haven't so much on, because you kind of see Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, those three are together, and you know, surrendering, how you say, that means that, how you say that, serving, friendship, and full surrender, those are also discussed together. Does that make sense? And then the middle, those ones are, you know, other activities. Because Padasena can mean serving the devotees, serving anything connected to the Lord. You know, Archanam is serving the Lord Himself. Bandhanam is that appreciation, prayers, and all that. So it's just how that's offered. Like the gopis, they generally aren't going to offer prayers necessarily directly to Krishna, but they might offer prayers when He's not there. While other devotees tend to offer prayers when He's there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just the nature. Right. Contrary means when the person's present, you know, it's contrary. Right? But if they're not present, then, you know. I've heard that, you know, one lady saying about how, you know, important the husband is and this and that and so many things, and, you know, just going on and on and on about the nice qualities and everything so perfect and all that. And then having finished all that, then they'll look at me and says, but don't you tell them that. Right? But, you know, so you see that. And then when he walks in the room, then, you know, how come he's late, he didn't do this, he didn't do that. You know, well, just before that, they're saying about how important. You know what I'm saying? So that's the... You know what I'm saying? Because the Gopi Geet, Krishna's not there, right? But Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and Kunti's prayers, and Krishna's there. You know what I'm saying? So that's it's just, in other words, all these aspects will be applied, but each relationship has its own way of doing that. You know what I'm saying? It's unique. So there's a natural progression. Servitorship, then that friendship, then the parental. But then when it gets to conjugal, it's kind of like everything reverses. You know what I'm saying? So that's all. So you have to see is that each one will have its own method. Right, you know, the parental rasa, even the kids doing something not so great, the parent will say it's fine. Right? The conjugal rasa, even if they're doing things great, then you'll say that it's not so great. Yeah. Right? You know, so it's just the nature of the way that they work. So you have to apply that everything in devotional service, all these nine processes and that, are applied everywhere. But it's just a matter of what is the nature of that rasa, how it will manifest. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, how you say, the knight comes up to the, you know, at the stand there, and comes up before on his horse to the princess and says, I'm winning this fight for you, you know, and then, you know, so many of the romantic ones come up and say that. Right? No, nicely. But the princess's point is, that's nice. Okay, they thought of her instead of just coming out and fighting. So that's a little bit better. But the point is they came there to win anyway. So whether she was there or not, they would still fight the same. So it's nothing special. He's thinking it's all special, but she's, that's okay. So what's special? You know, you've come here to win, right? You have your dignity and all that. So why don't you lose for me? Yeah? That would be more difficult. So that means you really have to care to do that. You know, does that make sense? But at the same time, as you know, you don't want to lose her as a husband. So therefore, once he's lost to a point that he's showed his sincerity, right? Then because you'd be so far behind, now he has to catch up and win. So that shows he's better than anybody else. You understand? So it works very, very differently than the other rasas. You know what I'm saying? No? Yeah, the mother will never say that. You know, I'm doing this for you, Mom. You know, she says, yeah, you do that. You know, so it'll always be like that. Or, you know, you're doing it for your friends. You know, like that. You know, so. Does that make sense? The conjugal always has its unique twist. That's why it's so hard to appreciate. Right? Does that make sense? Does the lack of logic make sense?
It has its own logic.
It has its own logic, yeah.
That's also what has more elements to it.
Yeah, there's so much more elements. That's why it's the adi-ras. It means we're looking at it as progression, but that is as things deepen. But the point is adi, it's the adi-ras because all rasas are contained within it. The others are just a part of it. That's why they seem so consistent. Because they're just that aspect. The conjugal rasa means it has all those. So then all those things can function at any time. So that's why it seems inconsistent. Does that make sense? Yeah. Does that make sense? Like, let's say... Yeah, just in line with this, means you take the example in the way it was given, how it's being a portion of it, that the person may be a great father but a bad husband. You know, because it's just a part of the bigger. So he can't accommodate the full one, but he can deal with that much.
But he can't be a bad husband and a good husband and a bad father.
No, he wouldn't be a good husband and a bad father. If he's a good husband, he'd automatically be a good father, a good friend, everything else would follow. Does that make sense?
It shouldn't make sense.
It should.
Okay.
Just making sure. Okay. Quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Question. What is the business of Krishna consciousness society? Prabhupada. Always think of Krishna, as Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji mam namaskuru. These four principles. Always think of Krishna, become Krishna's devotee, worship Krishna, offer your respect. Obeisances to Krishna, that's all. This is Krishna consciousness. They are doing that, nothing more, nothing less, these four principles. Right. So we can explain this to anybody, whether they'll catch it, that's another thing. Mm-hmm. You know. So that's the point you're making. We can explain it to anybody. If they catch it, great. Then there's enough sukriti. If they're not, then what to do? At least you said it.
What's that?
Yeah, by saying at least we catch it. By saying it over and over again. Hopefully one day we'll figure it out. Yeah. In other words, by preaching you make yourself a devotee. And then others become devotees in that process. Then great. Yeah, so now you know if anybody asks you what is this Hare Krishna, this and that, now you know what to say. Okay, next part of the purport. These words stress that one should concentrate his mind upon Krishna. The very form with two hands carrying a flute. The bluish boy with a beautiful face and peacock feathers in his hair. The descriptions of Krishna found in the Brahma Samhita and other literatures. One should fix his mind on this original form of Krishna. of Godhead, Krishna. One should not even divert his attention to other forms of the Lord. The Lord has multi forms as Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, Varaha, etc. But a devotee should concentrate his mind on the form that was present before Arjuna. Concentration of the mind on the form of Krishna constitutes the most confidential part of knowledge. And this is disclosed to Arjuna because Arjuna is the most dear friend of Krishna's. So here it's interesting is that these other, because it's the similarly connected pastime. So he may be involved in that particular aspect, but it's still the same Krishna. Like that. You know, so we can see Prabhupada doesn't make that much distinction. That's what would annoy him about the, you know, the Gopi Bhava Club, where they would make such a distinction, or the Sahajiyas, they make such a distinction. Does that make sense? But there's not that much of a distinction. It's just that there's this aspect of the pastime. Right? You know, in other words, when Krishna, when Mother Jashoda's in the room, even though the gopis are there, Krishna's relationship interactions with the gopis are covered. But it's the same Krishna. Right? So if he's with the Dwarkavasis, it's also more covered. Right? Does that make sense? Otherwise, what's the meaning when Radharani sees Krishna and then says that mantra? Right? That was the mantra that Lord Chaitanya was thinking that Rupa Goswami wrote. Right? Because here is Radharani with Krishna. Right? And she's saying, she's the same Radha, she's seeing the same Krishna, but because of the situation, they can't interact. Does that make sense?
That's
Guru Chaitanya. Yeah, that's
Guru Chaitanya.
Don't make it that only this particular form of Krishna is with the gopis, those are the pastimes we listen to, and anything else we're not interested in. Yeah. Like that. But for you know, devotee of Krishna, anything about Krishna is interesting. So even you're hearing about the pastimes of Vishnu, Narayan, Rama, it's still Krishna's doing these. So then they have no problem with anything, because anything reminds them of Krishna. Udipan is what reminds. If you can see a tamal tree because it's black, or around here you have jackfruit trees, old jackfruit trees, they're black. So therefore it reminds you of Krishna, then why couldn't a pastime of Narayan remind you of Krishna? If a tree can remind you of Krishna, why couldn't a pastime of you know, Vishnu Murti, you know what I'm saying? So that's what doesn't make sense. You know, that's the inconsistency, is that it seems so devotional, but it's actually not. You know. Because you're not accepting the personality. You're only accepting that part that you deal with. You know, like that. So that would mean if Krishna only interacts with you, then it's fine. If he interacted with others, then it wouldn't work. No, that would be the other side.
So it's not actually pleasing to Krishna because they don't accept him as a whole personality.
No, no. Because there's not that much difference. It's just that the devotees are dealing with him in that way. That's why he's responding in that way. You know what I'm saying? Mother Jashoda is dealing with him as her son. Therefore, he's responding as her son. So while that's going on, the gopis aren't going to mess that up. They don't come in and say, you know, hey, beat it. Our Rasa is higher than yours. You know, we're the original Rasa, so you know what I'm saying? Nobody does that. No, they appreciate Rasa. Rasik means he appreciates Rasa. So Rasa, wherever it is, it's appreciated. But means you take it all back to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The mother's looking out the window watching the kid playing with his friends. She's not involved in it at all. Nothing to do with her. In fact, she walked out there, then they, oh my, you know, that kind of stuff. So therefore, but she's appreciating. But she's thinking, my son, the one that interacts with me like this and sits and talks like this, is out there playing. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, Braja Krishna has come as Nrisimhadeva or as Varaha or as Paramatma. Mm-hmm. You understand? That's the point. So they don't make so much distinction. Yes.
Isn't it the case in the Nimbarka Sampradaya that their goal is to interact with Radha and Krishna and the forest grows exclusively?
Yeah, means there's no separation.
But that's not necessarily sahajya. They don't want to see Krishna in the other rasas.
No, I don't think they have a problem with the other rasas around, but there's no separation. Mm-hmm. So they must have ways, you know, Radharani goes to Krishna's house to cook and things like that. So they'll have these different aspects, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, otherwise, what's the meaning of Braja and the cows and everybody? Because whose cows are they? There's father's cows, you know. So if father, then there must be a mother. You know, if there's a mother, then there's a house. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I don't know enough about it, but the thing that's brought out there is they don't like the aspect of separation. So therefore, Krishna has means. In other words, how much Krishna can fully manifest his personality won't be as much as in Braj. Because Braj, any and all things can be done. That's the meaning of it. He can do anything and everything.
But does that no separation mean that Krishna never leaves their side, he never goes off with the cowherd boys?
That I'm not exactly sure how it works. Because all I've ever heard about is Radha and Krishna being in various kunjas. To the point where the kunjas have names. Like that. I haven't seen that the acharyas have used names on kunjas. It means you may have Lalita's kunj or Vaishaka's kunj and Radha kunj. It's their area for that, but when they're in these different kunjas around Vrindavan, I haven't heard that they have a name. But they have names for them. Names for them, ragas that go with them, and everything like that, specific pastime that goes on there. So if they want to do that, then they go to this kunja or that kunja. So it would be more like our deity worship, but in conjugal rasa.
There's probably no concept of the Mathura pastime. Where a crew comes in.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, they accept Bhagavatam, so there must be something. So how they work that out, I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I never asked.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yes, but it would be interesting to ask. But I've heard that the person I heard the most about it, his father's. Father's side of the family, they're in the Embarkas, the mother's side are Vallabhas. You know, so they're all pujaris on both sides. Mm-hmm. So, I think mother's side, then they, you know, they're all pujaris at Srinath. Mm-hmm. So he would sometimes talk more about that than the other one, maybe just because the nature of the talk more about the mother than the father. I don't know. I didn't hear how they dealt with those. It would be interesting to know that. Interesting.
Because if it's like that, then meaning they don't have any other rasas.
Yeah, so how would they deal with all the five rasas? And that? They must have a way of dealing with it. Just like, you know. Like they'll say the separation is like the Prema Sarova pastime. They think they're separated, but they're not. So there's a concept of separation, but they're never actually separated. So it's just kind of like cute. You know, it doesn't have the intensity of what we're dealing with. Does that make sense? Because if you're always together, it's always nice. And being with Krishna will always be nice and will always get better and better. But separation makes the union greater. So it's more intense, you know, together and apart and together. The point where when they first come together, they're already worried about being separated. So that they're actually tasting separation in union. Mm. While the Nimbarkas are looking at it, there's union in separation. Mm. It's the opposite. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's a different. The attachment's greater. But when they're separated, they're always thinking of Krishna, so they're always with Krishna. Yeah. And when they're with Krishna, they're worried about being separated. So, you know, it's like that's where all these things are there. It's just more. Yes. No, it's quotations from Prabodhananda Saraswati, Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrita, 219. Within the boundless, all-pervading effulgence of the Brahma Jyoti is the extremely blissful, blissful and effulgent realm of Lord Vishnu. Within that realm of Lord Vishnu is another effulgent realm of immeasurable transcendental bliss. Within that place is the forest of Vrindavan. Right, so within the realm of Vishnu and Vaikuntha, then there's another one of immeasurable, that's Goloka. And within that, there's the forest of Vrindavan. 1422. When moon-faced Lord Krishna Chandra places the flute to his splendid smiling lips and plays very sweetly, Sri Radha fixes her eyes upon him. And the residents of Vaikuntha feel ecstasy and the hairs of the body stand erect with joy. However, when Lord Narayana, the master of Vaikuntha, fixes all his senses and meditation on this scene, he faints in the ecstasy of love. At that time, the goddess of fortune becomes unhappy, and the residents of Vaikuntha cannot find the slightest happiness anywhere. Right? So in other words, this element of separation, the Lord still feels, he tastes it, but no one else can appreciate it. But there's still lack of appreciation is still directed at him. Because they want him, he's the Lord, he should be there, he should be enjoying, he should be happy. So when he thinks about these things and therefore, you know, falls unconscious in ecstasy and all these things, then they're worried that he's not enjoying himself.
Missing out.
Yeah, so still, it matches the rasa and everything works out. And it's an expression of their affection, but it's just different. Something?
No.
Oh, okay. The reason some people maintain that Krishna is a partial expansion of the original personality of Godhead and not the original personality of God himself is described by the Lord in Bhagavad Gita 7:25. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my external potency, Yoga Maya. Oh, this is a quotation from Srila Jiva Goswami's Sri Krishna Sandarbha 29:23. For I am covered by my external potency, Yoga Maya, and so the deluded world knows me not, who am unborn and infallible. Sri Krishna only partially reveals himself to the ordinary living entities. Because of this partial revelation, ordinary people believe that Krishna is merely an expansion of the original Godhead. Because it's only partial. Like that. So this is a big, big topic, you know, amongst your various, you know, philosophers, or not, I probably have to say theologians. Because this term Godhead is actually, it's a Christian terminology, meaning the original God. And then there'll be so many other gods down from there, even though they say there's only one God. So it becomes very confusing in how they work it out. Like they'll even say that the Adam means God, what they're talking about in Adam and Eve, then he's God, meaning the one who's, you know, controlling the material world. So therefore, they connect him to the devil. So there's all kinds of far out stuff going on when you get into these things, because they can't deal with, they don't actually know what transcendence is. Material, spiritual, and transcendental. They can't tell the difference. So they get into all these levels. You know, they don't accept the demigods, but at the same time, there's always, it gets weird.
I don't understand this. Partially reveals himself to the one, to the living entities. Does this suggest that Lord Vishnu and Narayan fully reveals himself to living entities? That's why we have an easier time thinking of him as a source.
No, because partially reveals means that they're partially revealed, so they look like they're... So he may reveal himself less, so Vaikuntha Pati is revealed more. But at the same time, is still, it's not a complete understanding, so he's not revealing himself completely. Does that make sense? Because here we're dealing with that, he's thinking to the foolish and unintelligent, because... Then, when these things are explained, they can't appreciate them or stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like that. So, therefore, it's a matter of he's revealed, so then that's just all the farther that they're interested. So that's all that we deal with. The principle is here, it's not necessarily that they're foolish and unintelligent, but it's, he's covered by his external potency, yoga maya. And so nobody knows him. That's the portion to take from here, if you're applying it, let's say, to those who worship the Lord in Vaikuntha. It's just that that's all the more they're interested, so that's all the more that's revealed. Right? Because I remember we were getting some details on the Brahma Samhita on chanting it and stuff like that. And, you know, so we showed it to a... you know, one of the scholars of the one of the Madhva Mats, and you know, he read the Sanskrit, you know, immediately understand and this and that, and then you know, he gave us the things, but he was looking at it and goes, no, there's something wrong with these verses aren't right. You know, there's something's not right here, because it was bringing out Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, not Vishnu, because in their mind, Krishna's expansion of Vishnu. So he just, it didn't make sense to him, but he was just had agreed to show us how to chant it. Yeah, but still he's an expansion of Vishnu.
Really?
Yeah, means that their thing is Sayuja, no, Swarupya, form liberation.
Okay.
I'm not sure the Shris, I think it's not Swarupya. I think it's same planet or like that, Salokya.
We're in Sri Lanka, and we had a translator, a local Brahmin, and we would say Krishna. He would say Vishnu Paramatma Supersoul.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just didn't have a concept.
Yeah. It just can't. So it's meaning that aspect is that he's covered by Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya covers up to that point, and that's all the more he's revealed. So he reveals part of himself. That's the essential point. But that can be, this principle can be taken down all the way to those who don't even believe in God, so they can't even understand God exists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, down to where he doesn't manifest anything.
Yeah.
But still he is, because their interest in whatever they're interested in the world is still God.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's God conscious.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of whether it's favorable or not.
Mm-hmm.
So as it's more favorable, more is revealed. As less favorable, less is revealed. Is that okay?
So when speaking with Sri Vaishnavas, what's the main pramana that's given to establish Krishna?
We don't worry about that.
No.
The main thing is that, you know, one is surrendered to Vishnu,
mm-hmm.
and is rendering service and devotion. That's mm-hmm. the main principle.
Sometimes they say things like, oh, your scriptures are biased, we're following the unbiased objective ones.
No, because they're means, and what is their deity?
Vishnu.
Yeah, but which form? There's 24 Vishnumurtis. Which one? Yeah, so I was just saying is that they'll have their specific deity, because you go to their house, they have a specific deity. You know, it's called Ishta Deva. So what's your Ishta Deva? So even that, well, you're particularly biased to Sri Rangaji or, you know, another deity. Yeah, so therefore, even as that, you know, you're all your prayers, and if you go to Tirupati, all the prayers are about Balaji. You go to Sri Rangam, all the prayers are about, so you could say they're also biased.
Mm-hmm.
The point is what's the problem with being biased? Right? It means there's a quality, a feminine quality that's there that's generic. Right? And there's an element of glory in the feminine nature.
Mm-hmm.
But the man is biased towards his own wife. Is that a problem?
No,
so then what would be the problem if Vishnu is unlimited, but every devotee is biased to a particular form or a particular pastime or situation? What's the problem?
Right.
So it's like why would they bring that up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's not necessary. Vaishnava means you're surrendered to rendering devotional service to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. And Narad Muni, he's a Vaikuntha man. But he has no problem with Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan or Dwarka or anywhere else. You know what I'm saying? So that's the Vaishnava. The actual. Someone who would say that isn't actually as mature as one would hope for. Because
right.
The scholars, I don't remember dealing with the scholars and they had any problems.
Mm-hmm.
These actual, you know, renowned scholars, you know, the ones that write the magazines and do all the different things like that. They have less problem with us than, let's say, the priests. The priests have more problem with us because the ritual is different. But for those who are into the theology and all that, philosophy, then they see there's very minimal difference. You know, the difference is just on that detail, but that's a detail. That's not a difference, you know.
Thank you.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada ki jai, Sarva Vaikha Bhaktivedanta ki jai, Jayataya Gaur.